I don't normally write many things down apart from Paul, happy birthday. I've got that down here because I will forget. We're looking into parables to draw alongside. Jesus says, if we have eyes we will see. If we have ears that will hear, we will hear. Which indicates there are people that will see, but they don't see. They hear, but they don't hear. Now, after a few years of marriage, I can say with great confidence that Susan can look at me and she says, you've heard me, but you haven't heard me, have you? And I go, I have. She can tell me what I said. And I go, I can't remember. So it illustrates that it is possible to be in the same room as everybody else and someone says something, but only a few people hear what's actually been said. And there are those in life, and in a spiritual sense, those that just go la, 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 and they close their ears and they close their eyes. And Jesus says, it's those that are willing to see that will see, and those that have their ears ready to listen that will hear. And I've written down here, let's let God's word do the work. And so often we try so hard in our own strength to do things. But when it comes to spiritual things, I believe quite firmly in my own life that if we let God do the work, let his word do the work, we will have far more success. So last week, I finished on this word, on this particular portion. We was looking at the small things. Do not despise the day of small things. We was looking at what God is doing in us and through us. And he can take the very small amount of faith that we have and we can achieve big things. And when we look at the small, so often, maybe it's just me, but so often I believe that there are times that we don't see what God sees. We don't see the small beginnings. We don't see the mustard seed. We just see the mustard seed in our hand, and that's the problem. It's in our hand, it hasn't been planted. Because that parable talks about when that mustard seed is planted, it turns into a mighty bush, a mighty tree that can sustain other people, that has beauty, but it needs to be planted. We understand what Scripture says. It's talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but the thing that goes through the Scripture is the truth. He became the first fruit, so if he rose from the dead, we will also. But he says this, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains but a seed. But if it dies, if it's sown, it will produce some 30, some 60, some 100 times. So I want to look at parables again, and I want us to just look at God's word and let God's word do the work. And in this portion of scripture here in Luke 7, it says that this is why I did not even consider myself worthy. So let's look at what is being said here. As we go up, we're very familiar with this story about the faith of a centurion. But if we're not careful, we can miss so much of what's being said. We need to understand this centurion wasn't someone that went into the synagogue day after day, week after week, listening to the Torah. He didn't understand the Torah, but he was a very generous individual. And he was a man who obviously had authority. And it says this, when Jesus had finished saying all this, and we need to look at what he was talking about beforehand, to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum, and there a centurion's servant who his master valued highly was sick and about to die. To picture the story, the centurion heard of Jesus and sent the elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. I've read this portion of scripture, I'm sure you have time and time again. When you talk about faith, we so often miss these first few portions of scripture. He'd heard about Jesus, and because of what he heard, he sent someone to say, come and heal my servant. Not come and pray for my servant. Not come and give him the last rites, pray over him as he dies. Not even bring some nice poetic scriptures from the Torah. No, come and heal him. And I find that fascinating. There's so often we hear of God and we know God can. And I want to challenge us right off the bat, right here, right now. I'm an individual that I believe the fullness of the scriptures. I believe that all scripture is God-breathed and useful to edify, encourage, correct, direct, and lift us up. And I believe that if Jesus healed in that day, he can heal today. There are times we see it and times we don't. There's times in my life I've prayed for the sick and they haven't got better. How about you? They've got worse. But I'm not the healer, am I? That's the truth of it. And this centurion knew that. He couldn't heal this man. He knew Jesus could. So I want to challenge us, knowing that, you know, it's good to have doctors around us. It's good to have surgeons and physicians and dentists and those that look after our health. That is a God-given provision. But also we have the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And there may come a time that you will hear what God says and you will see what he says and you will say, come and heal me in that circumstance, that situation. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. Now, look at the difference between these two types of people. You've got one who says, just go and tell Jesus, would he come and heal my servant? And the other one's pleading with him, saying, listen, they're making a plea. This man is worthy of notoriety. He's a generous man. He helped to build the synagogues. Jesus went with them. When he was not far from the house, when the centurion sent friends to him, to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell one, go, and he goes. The other one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith in all of Israel. And it's just something that's small, isn't it? But it's God's word. Just say the word. You know, we can speak many words, and they're good words, they're encouraging words, they're words that will lift up, they're words that will encourage us to keep going a bit further, they're words that will do good, but also words that can do bad. You know, there's a thing that I was brought up with, sticks and stones, you two, will break my bones, but words will never harm me. Well, that's a lie, isn't it? Because words are very, very sharp. Very, very sharp, and they can lift up and they can pull down. But when we look into God's word, even when it says repent, it will do something positive. It will cause us to turn. Even when it says no, it's for our own good. Even when it tells us to do something that we don't want to do and not to do something that we do want to do, the difference between my words and his words is life. His words are life, and life in all its fullness. So I want us just to look for a few moments at the word of the Lord. In Matthew 13, one, it says this, the same day Jesus went out of the house and he sat by the lake. Such a large crowd gathered around him and as he got into the boat. And you can imagine that he was going around laying hands on people. Those that had leper, those that were lepers that were cast out from society, he was placing his hand upon them. Word would have got out. He sat in the boat while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables. The parable, parabolos, and it comes alongside. It's to almost emphasize what he's saying. And sometimes it can make it simple, but it's profound. It's so simple for some people that they don't hear it and they don't see it because they don't see the significance in it. And that can be the same for me and you. We can hear something and see something and we think nothing of it, but it can be so powerful, like these parables. As we come into the kingdom of heaven is like. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow seed. And I just want you to listen and think, not with your Christian ears on, but what would you think if you was hearing this for the first time? How would you interpret it? As he was scattering seed, some fell upon the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. where it produced a crop, 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The disciples came to him and asked many questions. And we'll look into the interpretation of that parable in a moment. In Matthew 3, 1, it says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness. To preach is to proclaim. To proclaim is to speak it out. You cannot preach with your mouth closed. You know, many people will say, you know, if you want to preach, you can preach by what you do and what you say. Well, you can't. You can only preach by what you say, because that's what the word means, to proclaim. I can serve you, and out of my servants, it will encourage you. But if you don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing, you'll just be blessed because I'm doing it. But when I say it, when I say the Lord wants to bless you, may he bless you, may he keep you, may he make his face shine upon you, you receive something if you have ears to hear and eyes to see. It doesn't matter if you're at a wedding or you're at a funeral, you can receive that blessing from God if you'll have ears that will hear. And I want to suggest, as we go forward as a ministry, forward as a church, to really listen. I'm going to digress. There was a couple in church many years ago, and he had a conversation with a friend of mine who was also in church. And this friend of mine said to this other person, what's wrong? He said, well, I'm not happy with what Andrew said. Well, what did he say? He told him. He said, he never said that. He said, yes, he did, and he offended me. And he said, no, he never. Let's get the recording. This was the day up. Thankfully, Nigel was recording our messages. And he played it to him, and he went, well, where did I get that from then? You see, if we don't listen, we won't hear. So he was offended by something I didn't say. I'm so clever. It's so good, hey? That's the anointing, is to offend anyone, even when you don't say those words. But do you get the point? Somebody was offended. I don't give offense. People take offense. Took offense by something that I didn't even say. And so often, in relationships, in friendships, in between husband and wife, between children and parents, between colleagues, we can sometimes pick up on half of what someone has said and not got the proper context. So I want to say to us as church, whenever we read God's word, let's get it into context. Let's get it into context. Let's look at what God is saying. Who's he saying it to? And as I say on a regular basis, there is a thread that runs right through the Bible. It goes from Genesis right through to Revelation. And it ties everything together if we will have eyes that will see and ears that will hear. In those days, John the Baptist came proclaiming, preaching in the wilderness. And there's the thing, there's the encouragement when someone says that they've had a period of dryness, a wilderness experience. Then there comes along someone preaching in the wilderness. What's the difference? There were people in the wilderness that were willing to listen when God was speaking. They were willing to see what God was doing. And that's the difference between life and death. It's the breath of God in us and coming through us. So John the Baptist, he was saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And when we look through the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is talking about the kingdom that we can see when they saw Christ, and the kingdom that we experience because of Christ living in us. God's come to reside in each believer. And that's the difference between our words and his words, between my way and Yahweh, Yahweh coming to reside within us. Christ in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yes? Amen to that. In Matthew 13:18, it says, listen to what the parable of the sower means. Now, there's times where Jesus would just speak in parables and then just wander off. And other times he would say to his disciples, would say to him, what's all that about? And these were people that understood him more. They were around him. But yet they still didn't hear what he was saying. Because he goes on in another place. He talks about bread. He talks about yeast. The yeast of the Pharisees. And they think it's because they haven't got any bread. It's not what he's saying. He's saying, listen, false doctrine. So we need to have spiritual eyes that will see and spiritual ears that will hear. What's God saying? What's this really mean? And what's he saying to me? Listen to what the parable of the sower means. And this is a great, this is an important part, because right at the beginning here it says, listen, listen. So he's given us an instruction. In order to hear it, we need to listen. So listen to what it means. Anyone who hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches what was sown in the heart. Now, the seed is the word of God. So when we speak the word of God, we're sowing spiritual seeds. And we're talking about this picture of different soils. And as we listen to what Jesus says here, I think that we will be able to recall some of the people, some of the circumstances, and where we've shared God's word, and we can identify with these soils. And so often we think we've done something wrong, or what's the point? But you know what? Jesus didn't say, don't sow seeds. He said, sow the seeds. And there will be some that will fall on rocky places. So it says, the kingdom did not understand it. The evil one came and snatched away what was sown in their heart. This is a seed sown among the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble and persecution comes because of the word, not because of circumstances, not because of church, not because of you, but because of the word. When trouble comes and persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling among good soil refers to someone who hears the word, understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, 30 times that which was sown. So what's the difference between the soils? It's when you look at this last one, they understood it. And so when we share God's word, it's good to proclaim his goodness. But there'll be times in our lives where we'll come across people that maybe have a hard heart. They maybe have rocks and obstacles in their life. We don't know their story, do we? One of the things that I suggest we as a church gather and understand is we don't know someone else's story. We can share God's word and immediately think, that's it, I'm never going to share with them again the way they responded. But you don't know what's going on in their lives, do you? Now, the good thing about Jesus was, it said many times, and knowing their thoughts, he said. Well, we don't do that, do we? Unless God gives us a word of knowledge or some revelation. Generally, we don't know someone's story. So if we will undertake the journey to remove the rubble from someone's life, what do I mean by that? You know, as you share God's word with someone you care about or a complete stranger, you're not quite sure what's going to happen with that word. You want it to go into good soil, but you don't know, do you? I suggest that as we pray for that individual, as we ask the Lord to bless them, then I believe that in the spiritual, in the heavenlies, God does something. And maybe there can be some rubble that's moved out of the way because of your kindness, because of your prayer, because of your servanthood. Do you know what? If you do something for someone else because you want to do it for them, you're not looking for a return, then you will receive a return. Because when we do something, when we do good because it's good to do, we receive our own harvest. But we don't see necessarily what's happening. But I suggest as we have an act of kindness, as we do the small things, as we start with God's word, and then allow his grace to come in. I heard someone say something the other day, and it was so simple, but it just changed my point of view. I'll share it with you. Is that okay? Thank you. What it was, I used to say, we don't know when people pass away, we don't know if we don't know them well, whether they're going to heaven or hell. And I used to say things like this, God is a just God. And I believe that. But then someone else said to me, well, I listened to someone else say, we don't want a just God. We want a God of grace. Because if we got what we, if we got our just deserves, we'd all be in hell. And it's something simple, isn't it? Small word, it just changed the way I thought. So now I pray, Lord, I want you to be a gracious God. I want your grace to fall upon this situation. And this is the difference between my words and his words. His words bring life. His words are full of grace. So yes, we want justice, but we don't want justice for ourselves, because if we had justice for ourselves, we'd be condemned. We want grace. So let's speak grace into people's lives. As we meditate on this parable, this story about the seed, you know, instead of going, yeah, that's it, you know, they're just worried about their bank account, the worries of wealth in this world, that's why they won't receive the word. Well, do you know one of the best things that we can do for rich people? I'll tell you it in a story. There was a couple that Susan and I knew, and they were comfortable. They had a couple of children, and they were comfortable, and they were Christians, and they were generous Christians, but they didn't have to worry about finance. And what I'm not saying this to say, look at me, look what we've done. It's an illustration, it's a parable. It's good enough for the Lord, it's good enough for me. It's a parable, a story to show you, illustrate what I'm trying to say. So you got this wealthy couple, and we looked and we saw that nobody blessed them, because they had. There are times that we look around, we look in church, we look at our neighbours, be somebody that's in need of something, and we go, they're in need of something, let's do something good for them. But when someone's wealthy and they have everything they need, we don't think like that. I suggest we don't think like that. But we just gave them an act of kindness. And they said to me, nobody's ever done anything for us. That removes some rubble out of their lives so that they could allow the word of God to come in. So often we only look with our eyes, we don't see with our heart. We don't see what God's word said. So that's just a word of encouragement. I'm not suggesting you go around and bless every rich person. But what I'm saying is you take the words that God has given you and you ask God to sow those words into that life. And when you don't see a harvest, be like that centurion. Don't believe that God might. Believe that he will come and heal that man. That seed will germinate and will produce a harvest, because you're going to pray it in. Now, it's not about naming it and it's claimed. It's about taking God's word and saying, Lord, show me. Show me what soil this is. Are there cares that I can help with? Is there worries that I can pray about? Lord, does this person just want to reject you because they want to reject you? Or are they open? Sow another word. Sow an act of kindness. Be who God's called you to be. So I want us to look at his parables. I want to look at what the Lord is saying and get some encouragement from it. In Proverbs 4:20, it says this, my son, pay attention to what I say. And when we look at a natural and we look at a spiritual, we look at a natural father and a spiritual father. We know that some fathers are not who they need to be. And we know that some mothers are not who they need to be. However, as Christians, born again, spirit-filled, we have a heavenly father that will always do what's right. So let's take this portion of scripture and say, my son, talking to me, pay attention, Andrew, to what I say, says the Lord himself. Turn your ears to my words. Let's listen to what God says to us. You know, you might find yourself in a place of, you don't feel too good. You know what happens in life? Every time you start going up, something seems to cut the very thing underneath you and you come down. But you know what? When we look through scripture, the truth of God's word is this. He'll take the high things and bring them low, and the low things and bring them high, which means we have a straight street. Doesn't matter how you feel, it's about how you feel. It's about what he says. Now, I'm not suggesting that we don't have feelings where we say, Lord, I'm just in this position where I do not feel it at the moment. But let's take God at his word. Let's listen to what he says. What have you said to me in the past, Lord? I want to not let them out of my sight and not let them out of my heart. I want to bind them around my neck. I want to be able to see them. I want to be able to taste them. I want to be able to understand them. I want to wake up in the morning and read your word. I want to meditate on what you show me during the day. I want to pray to you, Lord, in the evenings that you will create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit, that I may be who you've called me to be. They are life to those who find them. What's life? What's health to one's body? God's words. God's words are nourishment. He tells us to seek out wisdom and understanding, to be wise in what we do, to understand what he's saying. So when we hear something, let's not be like those that close their ears, but those that open their ears, open their hearts, open their eyes, and stop their ears to hear what God is saying afresh to us. As we go in Proverbs 3:1, it says this, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart." You know, when we think about the heart, it's the seat of all the emotions and everything else. And we're carrying our hearts around with us. And God is saying, I believe, let's carry his truths with us where we go. Don't leave them at home. Don't think to yourself, well, I don't have to be honest today because I've left my Bible at home. Yes, you do, because we keep God's commands in our heart. We walk around with them. For they will prolong your life many years. Now, when you look through Scripture, through Proverbs, through the Psalms, through the passages of God's Word, it will show us that there's something there that will nourish us. It's good for us. Why should I pray? Because it's good for me. And it's good for you. Because as I pray for others, others will hopefully pray for me. God's Word encourages us. As we look through the parables, we look through the small things, we look through his word. And it's about his word. Let the word of the Lord do the work. You know, you may be going through a circumstance, I may be going through a situation, and I'm thinking to myself, I can't do this. Well, it's at that point that I can imagine God speaking to me. I go, I can't do this. And I imagine the Lord say, good, because I can. I can. Because while you're trying to do it yourself, there's no room for me. But when you leave room for me, I'll bring you with me. You see, God's word in our hearts is something that he encourages us to carry around. And his word will prolong life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Remember, the word prosperity isn't just talking about our finances. It's talking about nothing broken, nothing missing. It's a complete circle. It's from the beginning to the end and everything in the middle. If I am for you, Jesus says, who can be against you? You can do more than what the conquerors do because I live in you. For they will prolong your life many years and bring peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Let love and faithfulness to be full of faith. You know, that centurion, Jesus said about him, I tell you that I haven't found such faith in all of Israel. Last week, we talked about faith as small as a mustard seed. You can say to that mulberry tree, be uprooted. What it's saying there to me anyway is that the small amount of faith that God has given me is as strong or stronger than the roots that held that tree down, because my small amount of faith can unroot it in a spiritual sense. And what Jesus is saying, what the Lord is saying through his Holy Spirit is, if we keep his commands in our heart, it will prolong our life many years. It will bring us peace and prosperity, the fullness of God. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. And that's something that we need to grasp for ourselves. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and men. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So often we read this portion of Scripture and we isolate it from the rest of it. We just go, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And we isolate it from what God is saying. But look at what he's saying beforehand. Keep my commandments. Write them on your heart. have them round your neck like an ornament so that you can always see them, always understand them, be forever allowing him to change you and challenge you. Because when we have God's words in our hearts, it stops our hearts from becoming calloused. Because when we look through scripture, it's the calloused heart, the hard heart that couldn't receive the seed, the word. So this is all encouraging. This is all to uplift us and to challenge us and correct us. It says, after saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, it says, in all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. You see, they're not my words, they're his words. He'll bring the high low and the low high and give you a straight street. But he's asking us in all our ways to submit to him and he will make our path straight. The Bible says that he will build his church and the gates of hell. What do we need to do then? What God's commanded us to do. To love him, to love one another. To keep short accounts. Not forsake the joining together. To be generous when it's in our power to do so. So I want to encourage us. Let's read this one. Do not be wise in your own eyes. I'm not saying that. His words, fear the Lord, shun evil. So how do we shun evil? By fearing the Lord. Saying, Lord, unless you go, I don't want to go. Unless you build it, I don't want to build it. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim over with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. So when we look at scripture, we're quite, the preachers will read this bit about honor the Lord with your wealth. You need to increase your tithe. You need to know that when you give to the Lord, he gives back to you. And then they forget to do the bits before it and the bits after it. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke, his correction, because he loves the ones that he corrects. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father delights in his son. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver. This is wisdom we're talking about. Yields a better return than gold. She, meaning wisdom, is more profitable, Susan, than rubies. Susan, that's a private joke. Susan, I understand that. Nothing you desire can compare to her. Long life is in her right hand. Her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways and her paths are paths of peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Wisdom brings life and nourishment. God's word will cause us to grow, cause us to be encouraged. I'll leave you with this final scripture here. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the one that went into the wilderness saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Many people did repent. They were baptized with water. Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. They believed that Elijah was to come back. Others say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But what about you? So let's ask that question. What about you? Who do you say he is? He asked, who do you say I am? Is he the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? Well, that's good. Is he your Savior and your Lord? Well, that's good. Is he a God of mercy, a God of grace? Then that's good. Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon of Jonah. This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And the reason I put this in here is because if we have eyes to see and ears to hear, God will show us and we will hear his voice. Because Peter was one amongst many, and he didn't say that you are John the Baptist. He heard the voice of God. He heard the Holy Spirit whisper to him, this is Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the one that the Torah talks about, the one that has come, the one that is in your midst. And Jesus said, you didn't receive it because you just heard with the natural, you heard with the spiritual. And I believe as we look through God's word, we have that same choice. Are we going to be those that will just read it and go, well, that was good? Or are we going to read it and say, Lord, show me. Let me hear what you're saying. Let me see what you've written. How does it apply to my life? Lord, help me to see with spiritual eyes and hear with spiritual ears. Amen. Let's close in prayer and our worship team come up. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your grace. Lord, we thank you that you have called us, you've drawn us, you've enabled us, you've predestined us for such a time as this, that we've been set apart, Father God, for your glory. We pray today that we would receive afresh your wisdom, your grace, that you would open our eyes that we may see you more clearly, open our ears that we may hear you more clearly. We ask this, Lord, because your word encourage us to do so. May we take your word today and wear it around our neck. When we listen to it, when we read it, when we meditate on it, Lord, may it bring nourishment to our bones and longevity to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.